whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take
him out! You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Brock is the leader of our team. I've loved these 3 years with Brock. I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I'm here. So, like, Brock's been a stud. He's a guy I got a lot of confidence in, and just as a human. But it starts with what he's done on the field these last 2.5 years. And we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with him. We just almost did. And I know he's capable of getting the Niners Super Bowl in the future.
Brock Purdy!
Oh, baby. Lindsay Shanahan spoke to the media for about 36 minutes yesterday down in Santa Clara explaining a few things. Defense coordinator, special team coordinator, Deebo Samuel, some of their guys coming back, maybe not coming back, Dre Greenlaw, Javon Hargrave, Charvarius Ward, but you heard it right there. And that was numero uno for me, the big takeaway, or the top takeaway, is what do you do with Brock Purdy? And I don't know if anybody's going to say that's just lip service. Do they believe John Lynch? But we're going to get into it. 888-957-9570 is a number. Shout out to everybody watching us on YouTube. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. John Lynch, Shanahan, say that Brock is their guy. Brock is their guy. Say that Deebo's going to come back. But there's a lot there. We'll see what happens with the contract and see, because actions talk. Actions speak louder than words, in my opinion. And I will know if Brock's their guy if they pony up before OTAs and have them make OTAs and minicamps and all that stuff this spring. And good morning, Shasky. What's up?
Good morning. Yeah, I thought, you know, to me it was like a layup. I expected something similar to that. And I think most people agree that Brock Purdy deserves some sort of a pay raise. I don't know what that's going to end up being. And
right.
When that number gets dropped, we'll sit here and we'll have opinions or whatever. But regardless of what that number is, whether he plays for free, whether he plays for billions of dollars, like, this team needs to create an infrastructure around him to thrive. And the number one thing that I'm looking at is this 11th pick, this 43rd pick, whatever the pick that ends up being in the third round. John Lynch alluded to,
we think
we're going to have about 10 draft picks next year. Man, I'd love to be able to somehow create 12 or 13 draft picks, because this team needs it. And they have to have, maybe not to the extreme of the 2019 top end of that draft, where you got Deebo and Nick Bosa, just two awesome, awesome players. But you need a multiple starters with those first couple of picks. And so we could talk about Brock, and believe me, it's extremely important. The hard part is surrounding this guy with some protection up front.
Well, you know, you need a couple spots. And the good thing is they found Dominic Pooney.
Absolutely.
And they believe in Trent Williams coming back and being motivated. And when Trent's playing, he's still playing at a high level. If Trent is healthy, he's still going to be one of the five best left tackles in all of football to protect Brock Purdy's blind side. So I feel good with Trent going in. Look, last year, we could go talk about it until we're blue in the face. It was a disaster. Everything was a disaster with your premier players, your big money players not being available, coming in late to camp, all that stuff. We talk about it until we're blue in the face. But I do believe in Trent coming back and ending it. If he does end it, want to retire next season, hey, he's going to end it on the right note. Because I believe Trent Williams does have personal pride. He's a Hall of Fame type of player with a Hall of Fame mindset. So I know I got two guys here. How do I get me a center? For crying out loud, I need a center.
Dude, I
need to find me a starting center in the first three rounds to be the linchpin of this offensive line for the foreseeable future. I would like another guard, a right tackle maybe. But we'll see what they do there. But I'm with you. They need about 8 players here. And I think they're closer to contending in the NFC West than they are being farther away from that. So locking up Brock Purdy, though, would be numero uno. Also, the Deebo Samuel thing. They fully anticipate Deebo being back on the final year of his deal. Now, what does that look like? Now, if you do bring Deebo Samuel back, because I'm not opposed to it. I think there's a role for Deebo Samuel on this team. You will get a highly motivated Deebo Samuel. I believe that because it would be the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Deebo Samuel wants to retire anytime soon. And so in the final year of his deal, I think you'll get a highly motivated Deebo Samuel, a guy who's going to be in shape, who apparently was in shape. And I do want to start Deebo out because this fan base, all of us, you, me, everybody, we've been hard on Deebo this season. And he hasn't made it easy on himself. The guy did fight pneumonia. We just kind of scoffed over that. I was like, damn, the guy had pneumonia?
Pneumonia will kill you.
Exactly. So
I don't think it's something that we should take
right.
lightly.
No, we shouldn't take it lightly, but we just gloss over it this year. We think about the struggles of Deebo Samuel. So that was alarming, though, that they were willing to do that. But again, I think the theme, and I'm kind of with you here, Shasky. You said it for years and years and years. You don't buy anything at a podium. You want to see the actions and whatnot.
I hear
now,
you.
Now, Lynch can speak. He speaks very well. And Shanahan is very blunt. But I do think it when it comes to Deebo and Brock, those two guys in particular, actions are going to speak louder than their words yesterday.
Yeah, I would agree. I believe last year around the same time, they had made comments about Eric Armstead. And they we want to bring the guy back. And I think that they genuinely tried to bring him back at a different number. And it just didn't work out. And so whether they try to, I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Deebo. Like, do you finagle the number a little? Right. Do you play with the number? Tre'Varius Ward played on the final year of his contract this year, and things that were outside of football, you know, obviously factored in. But I think it's tough. I think it's really hard to play on that final year in football.
It could go one or two ways. Yeah, it could go one or two ways.
And more than other sports. Like, I think it's so difficult. Especially when you play the punishing style that Deebo plays. And if you take a little, even if it's just in the back corner of your head about thinking about your long-term health, it changes how he plays. And I love the player. Look, this is going to just sound, I know, he wasn't great this year. If I had to choose, I'm probably going to die on the Deebo hill before I run him out of town.
Yeah,
Because he means a lot to me. What he did with this team, and I know it sounds foolish. I know we go with that Bill Walsh rhetoric. I think he's got one more really good year left in him somewhere.
I think you get a motivated Deebo Samuel. And look, man, when you put the ball in his hands and you give him space, he makes dynamic plays. He just does. He does. So, look, the plays are going to be open there because I do believe Christian McCaffrey will be back, and that will help a guy like Deebo Samuel. We'll see where Brandon Ayuk is. We'll see if they bring in another wide receiver. But I think more time in the pocket for Brock Purdy, if he's short up this offensive line, will mean more things to happen for Deebo Samuel. Stuff to guard him. Like, initially, if you want to guard him off the line of scrimmage, you're probably going to have success. But the play just evolves. And you go 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 7 seconds. And you start playing that street football type of style where all of a sudden Brock Purdy's scrambling, trying to improv. Deebo Samuel is one of those players you want out there improving because he can make things happen in the open field. So I do think you'll get a highly motivated Deebo Samuel. To your point, it could go one or two ways with the contract here.
Yeah.
You could either stumble, but here's a great thing about that. If you do bring back Deebo Samuel, we're a long way away. Things can change.
Yeah.
Because John Lynch has said in the past, and I don't forget words, their phone lines are always open. They're always looking to improve the team. So they could feel like this January 9th about Deebo coming back, but what about March 9th?
Well, that's
when things are flying, the free agency and everything, and they get a call about Deebo Samuel, and they're more willing to say, you know what? We could flip Deebo.
Yeah.
We'll flip Deebo for a pick in this year's draft.
Well, one thing that I keep looking at, there's the draft aspect, but I'm also looking at and I know we want to improve the offensive line. I believe that they should do two things. Not only are we trying to draft a couple players on the offensive line, there's a lot of offensive linemen available in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Baldy brought up the Kansas City guard who's going to get, you know, grossly overpaid.
A lot of money.
I'll be real with you. That intrigues me. I don't think they can afford it, but I'd be all in on something like that. There are other names, too. Like, you can go with, like, let's say, hypothetically, a Zach Martin. Now, he's 34 years old, and I get that. You got Cam Robinson, who's a tackle, who's available. You know, James Daniels is available. Both Baltimore tackles could be available. Ronnie Stanley in the opposite one. There are a lot of really good players between the ages of 27 and 30 who are going to hit the market this year. And I just wonder, you know, like, they've done this in years past where they've signed somebody that we kind of, like, Tre'Varius Ward kind of came out of nowhere.
Yep.
Didn't really see them signing him. Is there a guy they're targeting in either the, on a tackle spot or somewhere in the interior of the line? And then that allows them to use one of their first couple of picks on D-line or on something else that they might need. Because I think we can all acknowledge they've got a lot of holes.
No doubt. And a guy like Zach Martin, who is a potential Hall of Famer, how healthy could he be? because he's very intriguing to me. He's a guy who's a baller. And I was looking at that saying, boy, can you get him for the cheap?
That's what I'm saying.
Can you bring him for the cheap? He can play in any style. Can he run his own scheme? Is he? Because you need protection up front.
Yes.
I would be willing to invest more in the free up front in free agency because I do think it's easier in today's game with all the college prospects to find speed and explosives in the draft. There's a lot of guys playing in spread system.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys who know how to run these drag routes and these over routes or whatnot and get a guy to take the top off the defense. I do think you can find it, but you got to draft well, right? You got to be able to find it. It's easier said than done.
No doubt.
But you can find some talent in this draft here at the wide receiver position or a little scat back, whatever you want to do here. So I think short up the trenches, again, I think we're in alignment here. Short up the trenches is first and foremost on his football team.
Yes.
D tackles. Now, I'm a little skeptical about investing in D tackle in the open market. It's burned up.
Big time.
Drafting. I saw some mock drafts where they had the 49ers.
Do not draft a D tackle at the first pick.
I saw a mock draft on ESPN where they had him taking the Texas A&M kid. The Texas A&M kid. He had 1.5 sacks. But they were like, his get-off time, his first step to the quarterback is the quickest of all of FBS, but he's raw. And I was thinking to myself, the last thing the 49ers need is a raw defensive tackle who had 1.5 sacks in the SEC.
The beauty about where they're at in the draft is, like, I personally would like to see them trade down because I don't think you're going to get one of these top two guys.
Yep.
But the year that the Niners jumped up to go get Trey Lance, Micah Parsons just fell.
I know.
And just fell and just fell. Could Abdul Carter, one of these edge guys, I love Jalen Walker, the kid from Georgia.
He's a big boy.
Could one of these guys fall to the Niners at 11? Like, if there's a quarterback upswing, and then all these offensive tackles are also projected to go really high. So, to me, this is a really good opportunity. I think middle of the line in free agency, and I think I could draft a tackle or I could draft an edge guy with that first pick.
Javon Walker, if he fell to the Niners, that'd be like Jalen Carter falling to the Eagles, I believe. This guy's a stud.
He's a monster.
Which we talk about. We need somebody to set the edge. And so who will they bring in as defensive coordinator number one? and Lou Anarumo, again, I keep falling to him. I look at Trey Hendrickson and what he's done under him and Sam Hubbard on the other side. They get after the quarterback. Now, I believe we all watch the Bengals. They're on TV all the time, Joe Burrow. So we see that defense. And they made some situational great plays. Like, I know they lost a lot of close games. Defense played well at times. They lost a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Jesse Bates is safety. They lost a lot of DBs this season.
Ball hawker.
They lost a lot of DBs this season. They lost their star middle linebacker, Logan Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he got banged up. The other guy they had at linebacker got hurt. So, Anarumo and what he could get out of a defense, right now I put him at the top of the list of a guy I want. But somebody you brought up before the show was Patrick Graham from the Raiders. And he comes from the New England system. He coached under Brian Flores in Miami. He helped win a Super Bowl in New England. He went over with Josh McDaniels or whatnot, but he's a guy who's been interviewed for head coaching jobs. He's going to be a free agent. Because we're going to play the sound. Shanahan did sound open to flipping some things on defense. Not maybe an overhaul with the scheme, but saying that, you know what, the league adjusts. So we need to adjust again.
So one thing that I appreciate about Shanahan is that he uses his past experiences as his knowledge base moving forward. And I get that. But you also sometimes need to get out of your box.
Yep.
He worked with in Atlanta and worked against basically the Pete Carroll defense for a long time.
Dave,
all right. And so he cut his teeth for multiple years. And I think that a lot of his football knowledge is forged from that experience,
right?
Going up against that particular defense every day in practice. And when he came here, he wanted to run some variation of that. And I just think that the league is evolving. And if you're not on the cutting edge and you're trying to go backwards, you get caught in the past. Yep. And I think that's kind of where we're at. So when I see like a Jeff Ulbrich, even Robert Saleh, to me, we're going backwards. I'm kind of out on that.
I'm out on that too.
You know, I would like to see them plow forward.
Yeah.
And I want to see them go in a different direction. You know, a name that isn't at the top of everybody's list, you're going to see him in these college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Al Golden has done a hell of a job with Notre Dame. And I know going through the college ranks is something that's super random, but I like Al Golden. He was a head coach for Miami. He wasn't great. He's got a variety of NFL experience as a player. I don't know. Like, there are other names. Like, there's Eberflus. There's obviously Ron Rivera.
I looked at Eberflus. Now, would Eberflus be trying to get another job? See, I want to get a guy as a defense coordinator, knowing that I have him for 2 years.
That's true.
He may get skipped through the cycle. And now, here's the thing about Al Golden that I was subscribed to. The NFL game has adopted so many college concepts offensively that who better to get in college or to defeat these concepts in the pro game than somebody who's seen it at the college level for a long time. Now, you say Al Golden, how many teams did he play? Now, you got to look at the evaluation. You played in the Big Ten. Yes. You played Ohio State. How'd you do it against Ohio State? How'd you do it against the spread concept type teams? How'd you do it against teams?
I don't care what you did against the military schools.
Yeah, I don't
not
care.
Not to be mean.
Yeah, no, Navy, Army, yeah, I don't give a damn.
I'm not trying to be mean.
Northern Illinois, yeah. Stanford,
I'm
I don't
Notre
care.
Dame fan.
But how'd you do against USC and Lincoln Riley? How'd you do against Indiana, who had some spread contests, but the quarterback got rattled out there, South Bend? How are you going to do if you do beat Penn State? How are you going to do against Texas or Ohio State? That's interesting. But I do subscribe to the college D coordinator more so now than ever because of so many adoptions to the college game that's been implemented to the pro game. Now, I'm with you. Gus Bradley, Olbrich.
I just can't do it.
I can't. Olbrich does nothing for me.
I totally agree.
He does nothing for me.
And like Robert Saleh, like we all like Robert Saleh. Going backwards, it's like getting back with your ex, you know, years later. And very rarely does that work.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely does that work. You're chasing the member berries.
Now, it worked for Belichick with McDaniels and Patricia at times.
Yeah.
I know you got
Belichick
Brady.
Was the main
you got
guy.
Brady, no doubt. He's the main guy cooking the food and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm with
Dennis
you there.
Allen?
Right. He's not bad as a defensive coordinator, and I don't think he's going to be alive for a head coaching job anytime soon.
I mean,
I would hope not.
I
would hire him a head coach.
No one's going to give him a head coaching job.
You know, but Dennis Allen is out there. He was a name that I saw floated around. So I do think Dennis Allen, guys who are lifelong coordinators, I think Eberflus kind of falls into that category.
Yeah, he's not getting a head coach.
And you know what, though? And Eberflus, too, if Shanahan was to bring him in and interview him, Eberflus has had Shanahan's number in the past, whether he was the defensive coordinator with the Colts or the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And that's something where Shanahan could sit there with Eberflus to say, you know what? This is what I did against you to kind of halt your offense, to kind of stymie your offense there in games that I've coached against you.
One of the names that I saw that Matt Barros wrote about, and I actually thought this was a pretty outside-the-box thought, but the guy from Cleveland who has been under Jim Schwartz, Jason Tarver, who was with the Niners for almost a decade, it's an interesting name because Jim Schwartz is another guy who's had Shanahan's number.
Yeah.
And one thing that when I watched the Cleveland Browns, they don't have great personnel. They've been injured a lot. They always seem to have a solid defense. No, they got Denzel Ward and they got Myles Garrett. So those are two pieces. But you have Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's an intriguing name.
I saw
Santa Clara ties.
You know what? Now that you brought up the Cleveland Browns, let me look at this because, you know, I've had a man crush on this kid for a long, long time. When he got drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I just noticed that, boy, this guy is with the Cleveland Browns. I forgot he was with the Browns.
Huh.
Juan Thornhill, safety for the Cleveland Browns. He has a potential out in his contract, out. And look, he's a safety that can play the deep third. He's 29 years old. He's got a Virginia. He won the championship with the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember him, Juan Thornhill. He's a guy, I remember that draft. I was like, boy, can you get Juan Thornhill? He went in the second round, 63 overall. There's going to be guys who get cut here.
Yeah.
That we have no idea who's going to get cut that could become available. That's a name I want to bookmark here because I do think they need to get better on the back end. You think about the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah.
We'll flip their defense. Everybody's talking about it.
Hamilton.
Greg Cosell was on with Willard Dibbs the other day. Was it yesterday or the other day where he, yesterday, I believe, where he was saying, their defense changed when Kyle Hamilton became the free safety, not the strong safety, and stabilizing the back end. I do think alongside the trenches, the Niners need to do that because too many guys get beat deep, too many guys take bad angles on the back end, and Jahmyr Gibbs just absolutely embarrassed them. That stuck with me. Explosiveness that we're going to see in this league for the foreseeable future.
Speaking of Greg Cosell, before we hit the break here, on the other side, you've got to hear what he made a comp to Ricky Pearsall.
He
made a comp, and I don't know about that one. Let's talk about that. Greg Cosell said something that had my eyebrows completely raised.
You know what, though? He's all in on the Ricky Pearsall experience, and his comp, I was in the car again with Greg Cosell. I thought it was the other day. Maybe I get my
maybe
days
I'm
crossed
wrong.
Up.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But no, it was yesterday, I think. It was yesterday. He brought it up, and I was like, huh, that is interesting. That is interesting. All right, that's coming up. Don't forget, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. This segment is sponsored by Chilton Auto Body.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune into the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
Warriors and Pistons. Warriors and Pistons. Draymond going back home. He may not play tonight. May not play tonight as he's questionable. Steph Curry's questionable as it is the front end of a back-to-back.
You smell that?
What's that?
He might not play tonight. Do you smell that, Spadoni? Smells like House of Prime Rib.
I am a little worried about that now because the way he was moving up and down the floor the other night, I said, boy, out of 65 games, man, it's a lot.
How many is he at right now? We have a bet for those that don't know. Bonte and I bet the over-under is 65. I have another bet about Justin Verlander that I'll get to in a second.
Draymond's played 32 games.
32. Oh, he's
who's
halfway
played 32
home?
Games.
He's halfway
Oh, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. we have.
How many left?
So they played 56 games. No, they played 36 games. Excuse me.
Whoa,
36 games.
I was going to say 56.
36, 36 games. So would that be 82 minus 36? It's going to be dicey.
Just stay around 500 because if they don't, if they start sneaking 6-7 games under Bonte, it might be shutdown season.
Oh, no.
What is that? 46 games left.
Now, we have some Greg Cosell sound that I want to play in just a second.
Man, I'm a little worried.
But let me give you another bet that I made with JP Money yesterday. JP Money is so out on the Justin
Verlander.
Who's
JP Money?
Okay. And I go, hey, look, man, look. Do you know how many starts Blake Snell made last year? He was awesome for like 13 or 14 starts. He made 20 starts last year, Blake Snell. Now, typically your starters make somewhere between, if they healthy all year, 32 to 35 starts. Dude, if I told Giants fans, you're going to get 15, 16 starts from Verlander at minimum, instead of Keaton Wynn, and God bless these guys, I'm not ripping them, Keaton Wynn or Tristan Beck or Landon Roop, come on, it's a more exciting, you're leaning forward to watch Verlander.
Well, we're talking about entertainment, right?
Thank you.
We're talking about entertainment value. Talk about watchability. Verlander, even at the age of 41, gives you that watchability. Now, what are the expectations? I don't know what Giants fans' expectations are for Justin Verlander. I really don't.
Here's my expectation. Start more than 12 games, because that's the over-under that my cousin set, and I think he will.
12 games?
Yes. If you look at his ERA and the innings logged over the last couple of years, last year was clearly a down year.
Yeah.
He had not had an under 3.5 ERA going back to 2014. Now, look, I know he's 42. I get that. He's coming back to a pitcher's park. Last year was kind of a weird year for the Astros and him in particular. I think he's going to bounce back. Ooh. I think he's going to be better.
So the over-under set at 12.5.
That's what Porter put. And I said I'm taking the over.
2023, he pitched in 27 games. Last year, he pitched in 17. I think that's a low over-under.
I agree.
He actually got hustled there. He should have said it at 16.5, 17.5.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think he'll get 12 starts, but how effective will he be in those starts? Last year, he struggled, no doubt. 5.48 ERA, 1.38 whip. The way I look at the Verlander signing and you're paying $15 million for it, again, I don't get alarmed because it's not my money and the Giants have plenty of it.
That's whatever. Fifth starter money. That's whatever. What the cost. We talk about market with Purdy. That's the cost of pitching.
The walk-up crowds you may get for a Justin Verlander start. The box office, people are going to talk about his wife. Who is it, Kate Upton?
Yes, it's Kate Upton, Bonte.
Yeah, I know how thirsty you guys are about it. Hey, look at
I'm
guys.
Not the
you
only
guys,
one. You, no. Every group thread don't, I was in.
No, don't throw people under the bus.
What?
No. What were you got to say?
Every group that I was in, we're like, yes, Verlander, someone, immediately, and Kate Upton.
Yeah, I know. Every thread.
Every thread.
Photos. Yeah, we know. We're
Why are you shaking your head? You were a part of this. Stop! You're the one who texted us that.
No. Sam Lubman did. I did not respond to any of it.
You hit the emphasize, whatever the heck it is, exclamation point.
It's Justin Verlander's wife. We're going to get to know this guy.
Exactly.
You may want to come on the show.
He's also a scratch golfer.
You know, we're not going to be posting highlights of, like, lowlights of his career on our social media. Dude, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be gassing him up and propping him up as a Hall of Famer that he is. Guys.
He is, though.
He is a Hall of Famer.
Give me the old gunslinger walking into the OK Corral one last time. I'll watch that all day, every day.
He is somebody that... He's going to be must-watch. I'm going to look at all, now you guys got me distracted with his wife or whatnot. It'll be like, you guys are just so thirsty around here. Just like, damn. We're out here talking about dude's wife. And then the low lights, that was crazy because Logan Webb even replied to that. But I look at Verlander. Here's how I'm looking at it. Who's going to benefit from Verlander being in that dugout? And I look at Hayden Birdsong.
Yes.
His stuff.
I love Hayden.
His stuff. Because Harrison's a lefty, and he's throwing 93, 94. I think Birdsong is going to benefit so much from Justin Verlander, and he should be able to pick his brain, learn how to pitch, the demeanor, how to just approach hitters. I think Birdsong is going to benefit tremendously from having Justin Verlander around him.
You know, I've had the opportunity to be around Bill Lasky when he's teaching young guys how to pitch, right? Yep. And, you know, Bill played for the Giants a long time ago. He's been playing baseball forever. He made a point, and it's such a great point. He's like, look, old baseball gunslingers, as in pitchers, they hold a baseball in their hand every day for 40, 50, 60 years. They understand every seam, every grip, every this, every that. And a guy like Verlander has literally been holding a baseball in his hand every day longer than a guy like Hayden Birdsong's been alive. Mm-hmm. And so even if he says nothing to you, just watching his routine, watching how his mind works and how he communicates with other teammates and the catcher for the day and all that, like, to me, I think this is such a net positive. I mean, for Christ's sake, Giants fans said that it's not worth the money. You paid Tom Murphy $8 million to do nothing. Do you even know who Tom Murphy is?
Nah, nobody knows.
You gave him $8 million. Just give me the $8 million.
Be nice, right? Would you give me two of those eight? Would you give me a little something?
If I got $8 million, well, the state would take a good chunk. The feds would take a good chunk. I don't think I could afford to give you the two. I would definitely give you 200 cap. I'm dead serious on that.
Okay.
I'd want a point on return.
I don't. You know, we say people are angry, and I learned yesterday being down there at Daniel Lurie's inauguration. It was a beautiful day down at City Hall. But it just running to sports fans. Real life compared to social media is just night and day.
Totally agree.
People are like, dude, I like the Verlander deal. Low risk, high reward.
Exactly.
Whatever. He's 41 years old. It gives me something to do. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. We'll see him just add to his illustrious resume. And then you get to see him. Here's how I'm thinking about it. You can see him pitch against Manny Machado. You can see him pitch against Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
You can see him face Shohei, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. A little scary as we continue to go down that list.
Please don't.
Corbin Carroll, everybody in Arizona, the Rockies, whoever they have out there. We at least get to see him pitch against high-level batters within the division. So that'd be fun. That'd be must-watch, watching a future Hall of Fame pitcher go against Shohei Ohtani.
Don't be fooled, Taylor. I'm still disappointed they didn't get Corbin Burns. This is not a Corbin Burns replacement. No. To me, this is like a move you would have made simultaneously, regardless of whether you got Corbin Burns or not. Well, I don't think this is some like Corbin Burns replacement. To me, I wanted Corbin Burns and I wanted Verlander.
Nick and KCBS, our boy Nick Palmer, he made a great point yesterday in the bathroom. Great bathroom talk. You know Big Nick. He's a Dodger fan.
Oh,
he
runs KCBS.
Nick. Nick. Everybody knows Nick.
Hey,
wears
a
nice little sweater.
He's a winner because they just won the World Series.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, no, he just walks over and just smiles at me. And I'm like, leave me alone, Nick. Anyway, he made a great point in the bathroom. He goes, of course you guys got Justin Verlander. I'm like, what do you mean, of course? He goes, he loves playing for teams that wear orange. The Detroit Tigers have a little orange.
Good.
The Houston Astros.
Mets.
The New York Mets. Yeah. And now the Giants. Maybe he looks good in orange.
Marlins next.
Well, they're orange. Southeast Miami.
Pitchers and catchers report soon, but I'm not into that. Right now, I'm into Greg Cosell's sound.
No, you were into Ricky Verlander. Pearsall. No, you're not. Because it's easy that we talk straight Verlander. I'm always into Giants baseball here. Look, this offseason has slowed down a little bit, But there's going to be – Scott Boras again, man.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
The Giants are going to make a trade. It's going to happen. I still – I know.
Marco Luciano gone?
I would make the deal for Mike Trout. I know nobody else would. I would do it. I would trade Luciano, Matos. You don't have room in your outfield right now. Just go get – if I said you go get Mike Trout, okay, you put Ramos in right, Mike Trout in left field, just let either Jung Hoo Lee's a part of the package or he's playing center field. Mike Yastrzemski could play center field if you have – you know, Mike Trout on the lineup. I would do the deal. I think you're an infinitely more watchable team. If you have a lineup
about
of
being
Adamus,
watchable?
Chapman, and Trout, right. Like now you
is,
got
is
something.
Is it about being watchable?
It's both.
Or is it about winning some games?
It's both.
You know, I'm skeptical on Trout, man. If Trout got traded here, I'd be excited about it because, you know, if he did give you one healthy season, I think we'd all be gassed up. But then, that could be career suicide for Buster Posey. That's the type of move that gets people fired.
But do you really think that, like, Matos, Luciano, any of those guys gives you a full season of, what you potentially could get with Mike Trout?
This team is so far away.
Yeah.
They're so far away. Does Mike Trout help you win? I don't know. The Angels haven't done much winning, even with him in the lineup. And their lineups have looked very similar to the Giants lineups, So might as well trade Anthony Rendon while you're at it. No, I'm kidding.
We've got a third baseman.
I'm kidding. The segment was sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. I will say Bob Melvin, Mike Trout deal would be right up Bob Melvin's alley. That's the type of move that Brian Melvin will like. I fully believe that. By the way, friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and much, much more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. What is coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Anthony Slater later on in the program. We'll have a time for him as he was traveling to Detroit yesterday. Warriors and Pistons later on today. But we'll get back into the 49ers. We've got plenty of Lynch and Shanahan sound from the exit presser yesterday down at Levi Stadium. It's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
I can't even believe you said that.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
Not easy to hit breaks. How many? Not easy. Carter, or Spadoni, what time is Anthony Slater today? 8:30? 8:30, Anthony Slater live from Motown. We'll get to the Warriors at 8:30 here. But let's get back into the 49ers. Giants signed Justin Verlander, 1 year, $15 million. I haven't taken any calls on that if you want to. 888-957-9570. What's your realistic expectation? Does this move excite you? Are you underwhelmed by Buster Posey's offseason so far? Are you underwhelmed?
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
Hey, you got to stop playing that because I am excited about the Giants. I'll give you 10 seconds
on the Giants. They're a better roster today than they were 1 year ago. And I know that they've lost Blake Snell. Believe me, I'm well aware. But their everyday roster is better today than it was last year.
Blake Snell.
What?
I feel like you hate – Blake Snell's going to disgust you.
Well, it pisses me off because they spent a ton of money on him, lost draft picks, lost international pool money, and then he left.
Yep.
And you got nothing for it. So, like, as we go through the Roki Sasaki thing right now, which is an international Japanese free agent who can come here, you're capped as to how much you could spend. Well, everyone, you can only give, like, X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
The Giants only have 90% of what they could offer him because they signed freaking Blake Snell. It's just...
Well, they could defer, like the Dodgers.
No, you can't with that guy because he's under 25.
Oh,
so under 25 international free agents, everyone, you get slotted like you do in the NFL draft. So there's a slotting amount of, there's only a maximum amount of money that you could spend on that individual if you're under 25 and coming over here from another country.
Even if it's deferred.
Yamamoto was over 25, so he could get a basic free deal. If you're under 25, you have a slotted number. I want to say it's $4 or $5 million.
Why is that?
The most. It's their way of kind of capping these guys from coming over.
Yeah.
I know. I'm the sick individual that understands international pool free agency.
No, a lot of people understand it. It's a little confusing for the casual fan, but
very confusing.
You understand it, and it is what it is, and it kind of helps. But it feels like, I know to the casual fan, you're saying, well, international pool, buddy, how come the Dodgers always get these international players? Or all these other teams get international players? These international players like bread. They like brand teams. They like brand names. They see the Dodgers over and over. They see the Yankees under screens over and over. That's why the Giants got to become relevant again. So,
so true.
He can go see the Giants. And, hey, I want to go play in San Francisco. That's why this Jung Hoo Lee move is going to be huge for the Giants moving forward. What does he do as his money goes up and up and up with this contract here? But, hey, look, I want to see what the Giants do. Am I excited about him? I'm intrigued. I'll be treated just like I was last year, but what's the Q rating? How quickly are people going to flip on Posey if things don't go well? You know how that. You know how it is.
Yeah. Well, Adames needs to get off to a hot start.
Obviously. Oh,
you know, like I think that would be just calm the waters. You know what I mean? If Adames got off to a really nice start, made some slick plays at shortstop. Shortstop was a huge problem defensively for them last year, and so if he can just solidify that and just be a stud, and everybody like you know warm up to him. I mean, Jung Hoo Lee got off to a pretty mediocre start, and people were still excited.
Nice. That's being nice.
I know
the bar was set so low.
37 games.
The bar was set so low. Two steals.
I still like him.
I do too. I just don't know what he is.
I know.
They signed this guy. Nobody knew who he was when he got signed. And they're like, oh, he played KBO. He's fast. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, how many times is this guy going to run into a wall? I know you got to get the league and understand the league, but isn't that what pregame's for?
I know.
Were you shagging fly balls in the outfield?
That's what you're supposed to do.
I mean, what was going on with the Giants? Well, Farhan Zaidi was running the operation. That's all you need to know. 888-957-9570. What's your big takeaways from the Lynch Shanahan presser? We'll get into that right now. As this segment is brought to you by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Shanahan and Lynch talked about a plethora of things. And I know you wanted to tease a Ricky Pearsall situation on what Greg Cosell said about Ricky Pearsall. Actually, I'll play it right now. Greg Cosell joined Willard or Dibbs yesterday. Greg Cosell cracks NFL film, and he breaks it down with the best. He's been doing it for many, many years. He said Pearsall, he's confident that Pearsall will be very good. It reminds him of a player in Detroit.
Yeah, I think Ricky Pearsall is a really smooth, fluid athlete. I think he has a good feel for route running. I think he's got some run-after-catch ability. I just don't know yet, based on his NFL sample size, which is not large, obviously, if he can line up as a true X. But I think Ricky Pearsall is a really, really, is going to be a really good receiver. It just depends on what kind of really good he is. I'll give you an example. I think we'd all agree that Amon-Ra St. Brown is a really good receiver,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
But he's not Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, but he's a really good NFL receiver. I don't know if Ricky Pearsall would ever get to, you know, the Jefferson Chase, you know, A.J. Brown level of receiver or Davante Adams in his prime, but he could still end up being a really, really good receiver. Just like Amon-Ra St. Brown is not a true boundary X, but he's a really good receiver.
You didn't like the Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown's a very power player. He does the power slants, and like when you go over the middle and you take big shots, I know the league isn't what it was 10 years ago, but like to me, he's a guy that, like, okay, when I look at their stats, like if you look at Jameis Williamson, Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra's stats, they're almost like inverted.
Yep.
You're looking at Amon-Ra, he has like 100 catches for 1,000 yards, whereas Jameson Williams has like 50 catches for 1,000 yards, right?
Yep.
He's your deep threat. This guy's your underneath guy.
17 yards a catch for J-Mo and 11 for Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's going to work the other deep stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know if Ricky can be that power slant guy, but I do think he can make a lot of money working underneath. I mean, Edelman, Welker, these are other guys that weren't the biggest dudes in the world, but were super tough. I do think Ricky's tough, but a power guy like Amon-Ra is a stretch, but I see what he's saying because
I understand
think the bulk of what Shanahan's offense is the under, intermediate, middle stuff, and if you can run really crisp routes, have good sure hands, and are willing to stick your nose in there, you will make a lot of money.
You know what? I don't know how fast Ricky Pearsall is in terms of burners, and you know when you bring up Jameson Williams, he's electric. He's a burner.
The guy
will jog in from the 30-yard line and still dust everybody by 10 yards. He's explosive.
He claims he can run a 4.2.
Yeah, I believe him. I believe him.
I mean, the guy was.
Think about Jameson Williams. Think about how loaded Ohio State was at one point. Not to get off track here, but that Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. And Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jameson Williams couldn't get on the field.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. They had all those guys in one room.
It's crazy.
One room. Ohio State, whatever they're doing, Brian Hartline and company, it's Ohio State versus the world.
Hartline.
He's a receiver coach. They love this guy.
I liked him at Cleveland.
They love that guy. So anyway, I mean, this guy's unbelievable, J-Mo, anyway. But Ricky Pearsall, for whatever reason, seems to get open.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay game, I'm going to take that. And then the catch and run where he just smoked everybody on the way to a touchdown, his first ever touchdown in the NFL. And then what he did against Detroit and what he did against Arizona. The guy ran out routes, pivot routes, drag routes. He got open deep. He gets open. And for whatever reason, he can win one-on-ones. And so can he be a powerful player? He doesn't look as powerful, but I think in the NFL offseason, getting into a weight room, maybe he adds about 10 pounds of muscle, gains more explosiveness at the line of scrimmage. I do understand what Greg Cosell said, that he can become that 100-yard catch guy where he's averaging about 12 to 13 yards per catch. I can see that with Brock Purdy. So now you got your guy who can work the underneath stuff and work the outside the numbers and get open in one-on-one situations. That's why when he plays with Christian McCaffrey and he sees one-on-ones out of the slot, I kind of understand what Greg Cosell said. He's not saying he's Amara St. Brown, but he could have that type of impact within your offense and your passing game.
And especially for this team, right? And think about this jump, this quantum leap forward. Last year, how many catches for Juwan Jennings in the regular season, Bonte?
What did he have, like 35, 36?
He had 19.
19? That low?
I couldn't believe that number.
I feel like he had more.
Well, the playoffs. He was the there. Playoffs. He was much better in the playoffs.
Yeah, probably added because the playoffs of the Debo.
And he might have been your MVP in the Super Bowl.
He would have been.
He had 19 catches last year.
Yep.
This year he had 77. And he missed some time. So to say that, Ricky Pearsall can't take this quantum leap. He had 31 catches this year. And really, he only played in like a handful. Like, if we're being honest.
I think he could
take a quantum leap forward.
Going into the offseason, that's why, when I hear things or you read things online saying nothing went well for the 49ers. And I push back and say, whoa. Pearsall is something that I'm going into the offseason saying, okay, I could build off of that.
Yeah.
We already talked about Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa, and Dominic Pudi, but Pearsall in the passing game, because people love skill positions. We all play fantasy football. We'll know what Ricky Pearsall could be. I saw A.J. Jenkins. After his rookie year, I think we're all out on A.J. Jenkins.
Yes.
Rashawn Woods. I think we're all out on that, right? Dante Pettis. It didn't take us too long to say, you know what? Even though he scored a touchdown against Tampa last week, he's still making plays. Dude, he caught a touchdown for Spencer Rattler. That Saints team with Spencer Rattler, Dante Pettis. I'm just like, damn, being a Saints fan, it's got to be
difficult.
I think
that's the worst job opening.
Oh, my gosh.
NFL.
Especially with Derek Carr, I'm not taking a pay cut, making $40 million.
Yeah, I couldn't pay me to. Well, you could pay me to take that job, but you get where I'm going.
Yeah, I get exactly where you're going. That's a rough season. What are Cam Jordan's going to do this offseason? Cam Jordan could be intriguing as a depth piece on the defensive line for the 49ers. Maybe bring him back to the Bay Area. He did go to Cal Berkeley, right?
Yeah, been in commercials with George Kittle.
Yeah, there you go. He's serviceable. But that